So now, first of all, the sort of layperson like me who isn't particularly well-versed in quantum physics or general relativity, well, how would you describe string theory?
Well, it's a theory of the four forces that make up the universe. So there are four forces. Everybody knows gravity. That's an obvious one. There's the electromagnetic interaction. People know that one as well. There's the strong force, which holds the centers of atoms together. And then there's the weak force, which is responsible for nuclear decay and the production of radiation in stars and whatnot. String theory basically treats all of these forces as one single kind of thing, which is vibrations of these very, very tiny, extremely tiny objects called strings. They can be open lines or they can be closed in loops. The vibrations of these strings produce, at lower energies and bigger scales, all of the kinds of particles we see in the particle physics accelerators and all of the objects we see in the world. And the reason it's so important is because it was the first theory to knit together our theory of gravity, which is Einstein's theory of general relativity, and these other forces of nature, which are all quantum theories. So they don't like to mix quantum theories and general relativity, because general relativity is a theory of base time as well as the force of gravity, and it's very hard to make sense of a quantum theory of space time. So that's the big problem of quantum gravity, and string theory was thought to solve it, and still thought by many to have solved it.
So tell us, how does string theory describe quantum gravity?
Well, the same way it describes all of the other forces. So we think of electromagnetism, which is light. Well, in one of its manifestations, it's light. We think of that as being composed of particles called photons. In string theory, you treat gravity in exactly the same way. You've got a field, the gravitational field, and it's composed now of gravitons. And these gravitons and these photons both correspond to different ways that these strings can vibrate. So they're treated in exactly the same kind of fashion. And the idea is that your interaction, your force of nature, is mediated, it's generated by passing particles between each other. Okay, so we feel a gravitational interaction with the Earth because we're passing, exchanging gravitons, these tiny particles called gravitons, between ourselves and the Earth. So that's how the explanation goes in string theory.
So why is symmetry so important to string theory?
Symmetries, well, in more modern aspects of string theory, there are these very interesting things called dualities. So I need to backtrack a bit and explain one of the major problems with early string theory was that although it seems to solve a lot of the problems and it solves the problem of quantum gravity, it seems to predict too much about the world. It predicts too many theories. In fact, there are 10 to the power of 500, i.e. that's 500 zeros, possible ways the world could be in string theory. 10 to the 500 possible solutions. So you need some way of hacking all of these different theories down into something more manageable. So there were these symmetries that link the various different string theories together. And it looks like there are many theories, but really there's just one fundamental theory. That's sometimes called M theory, by the way.
Has there been efforts to sort of test this, like with the large Hadron Collider? Has there been efforts to try and test the theories? Have they been able to sort of achieve the sort of energies needed to be able to examine the string theory?
Well, I mean, obviously, one of the major problems that most physicists can't stand string theory. Mm-hmm. Problem is, the scales are so small and the energies are so high that you can't get anywhere near the testable scale. So even the LHC, while it can probe very, very deep structures of reality, gets nowhere close to the kind of structures that you get in string theory. It's many orders of magnitude away. There was one example of trying to test string theory, which is that it would predict this thing called supersymmetry, which is the idea that our particles for matter, like electrons and so on, and our particles for force, like photons and so on, will unify and become the same kind of thing if you get deep enough. But that wasn't found so far in the LHC. And another reason why people don't like string theorists is that the string theorists keep moving the goalposts and say, well, actually, if we just probe a little bit deeper, then it might happen. We might still see it. So far, there's no experimental test whatsoever of string theory. It doesn't look like there's any on the horizon.
Now, string theory has sometimes been used to describe the sort of potential of a multiverse. Now, this is sort of a popular topic in pop culture. There's a lot of sci-fi films and comedies like Red Dwarf that have had superhero films that have played with this idea. Now, this has caused a bit of criticism from scientists. Can you explain the controversy or the plausibility of this idea of multiple existence of different multiverses?
Well, I mean, so this refers back to the problem I mentioned earlier, which is that there are all of these different solutions. This 10 to the 500 solutions correspond to different worlds, and they've been associated with, it's sometimes called the landscape of theories. And there are, and each one of these corresponds to a way the world could be. And then the idea is that string theory explains our world because we are just one of those 10 to the 500 worlds. And then sometimes you'll find string theorists using this thing called the anthropic principle, which is that most of those 10 to the 500 worlds won't have nice properties. They won't have nice gravity structures that let things, nice complex structures form. Electromagnetic interaction might be too strong so that you don't get the right kind of clumping of complex structures. And we will obviously find ourselves in the world we are in with these values because we have to in order to support ourselves as observers. So this is the anthropic principle, and people think it's crazy because you're using humans and the existence of humans to form explanations. People think that that's not very scientific. But it is definitely a prediction of string theory, and some people think that it's a very good explanation. Some people think it's a little bit weirder. If you can have a theory that predicts exactly this world with its very strange values for gravity and electromagnetism without having a multiverse of other worlds in which we are just one.
All right, well, thanks for being on the show.